are now joined by the winner of tonight's NASCAR Xfinity Series race, the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300, Austin Hill, driver of the number 21 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet. If you have a question for Austin, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start up front with Jacob and work our way back.
Jacob Seelman, 77 Sports Media, kicking the tires.net. Austin, congratulations. First off, what's going through your mind, not the final restart, but as it's winding down and everything feels like it's setting itself up, because you had no friends at that point. Did you feel in control of the race, even with four JRM cars behind you, or was there a part of you that was thinking, this may not go well if we don't find some help?
That's a great question. I actually thought that I was in a really good spot. I actually thought that I was controlling the line the way that I needed to. I was making sure that I didn't get too far out. You know, if you get over that one car length out, they can really make a run on you and get by you. So I was trying to just kind of manage that. My spotter, Derek Nealon, did an awesome job just letting me know if they were half back, three quarter back. And then when they would get that one back, I'd actually have to back up to them. So they wouldn't back up too much and get a run on me. And I felt like I was doing a really good job of that. Not to say that, you know, the eight and the seven couldn't have hooked up and got a huge run, and it might have been really hard to block, but I was actually feeling really good where I was at. And when the caution came out and we had the green white checker, that's when I got a little, I guess you'd say, nervous, just because when I lined up on the top and I had the cars that I had behind me, I figured they would just bail right away and try to pass each other. So felt like I was going to be a sitting duck, and then it just all worked out. But, man, it was such a crazy race.
You've got Daytona last year, Atlanta last year, Daytona now again. You've got the truck win here from a couple years back. Are you kind of the standard on these super speedways now? Do you feel like you can say that about yourself? Or is this a case of you've had a lot of good breaks, but there's still more to learn here?
I think you're always learning. I think it doesn't matter who you are, Denny Hamlin, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, Denny Hamlin's really good. He's won a lot of Daytona 500s and stuff. So, you know, and other drivers that have won the 500, I feel like they're always learning. I feel like every super speedway race that you run races a little differently than the next. I think a lot of it depends on the way the wind is, the way the air temp is. You know, that type of thing. You know, it just sets yourself up differently on how the draft's going to work that night. And I think it changes throughout the race as well. I mean, those things that I learned throughout stage one that I tried to apply in stage two, and they didn't really work the same way. And then when I got into stage three, they kind of worked how stage one was working. So you're just constantly learning each and every race. But I can sit here and say that I have a ton of confidence on these super speedways. RCR builds such fast Bennett Chevrolets, and I can sit here and say that when we went in the race today, even though we had our radio issues, we had our issues that we had to start the race, when we drove from the back to inside the top 10 within seven laps, I was like, man, this is our race to lose. I mean, we were so fast. I could make moves whenever I wanted to and do things that other guys couldn't, and it's fun when you have a car like that.
Jonathan?
Jonathan Field, the racing expert, ESPN Radio Albuquerque. I guess piggybacking off of Jacob's question, you know, is a matter of your driving style meshing well with super speedway racing, or what do you think it is?
Well, I think a lot of it is that I just react to what the lines are doing, how they're generated, the energy in each line, how the air's working. There's a lot that you can do with the air when you're behind somebody versus when you're in front of somebody. And I think a lot of guys, you know, in the truck level, Xfinity level, are still learning that. And I think that it's just kind of came almost a little natural to me, because it's not like I've sit here and studied super speedway races way more than any other race that I ever do. I mean, I watched the race from last year one time before racing this weekend. So, and that was this morning over a cup of coffee. So, I mean, and when I watched it, I'm like, I didn't take a whole lot away from it. I just have the understanding that when I get in the race to make the aggressive moves when I have to, and know when to not make the aggressive move and when to ride and when to stay in the lane and what line's moving. I just feel like I have a good understanding of that, and I don't have no rhyme or reason why that is.
Let's go next to Bob Pockris.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. When Mayer is turning in front of you there on the last lap, are you thinking there's any chance for you to win that race? And can you describe kind of what you saw him do?
Yeah, I when he turned across my nose, I just figured caution's out, race is over. But as soon as he turned across my nose, it allowed whoever was behind me, the 31, 38, whoever the car was, I don't know who it was, it allowed them to get to my bumper, and they just never lifted, and they gave me a really big shot, and they started pushing me down the back. So, and I'm sitting there looking at the green light and looking at the seven beside me to see, you know, when the yellow light's going to come up. And as soon as I saw the little yellow light, I looked left and it looked like I was ahead of the seven, but then I didn't realize the 20 is like below the double yellow line. And I'm like, well, if they let that go, that's going to be close between us. You know, I was actually just thinking I'm racing the seven. I thought the 20 would get a penalty for going below the yellow, but I'm guessing the reason they let that slide was probably because the wreck happened and it made it to where he was trying to probably miss the wreck type thing. But from what I heard, Sam Mayer's okay. I'm guessing he's good. Okay. So, that's really cool to hear. Good to hear. I was a little worried about that because when I saw the replay, I saw that he turned upside down. But, you know, when we went off in the one, I'm thinking, man, our outside lanes broke up. We're in trouble here. And then when I saw Sam go to the outside of the seven, I'm like, all right, I got another chance at this because that's going to pull both lanes back. As soon as it does that, it just drags that lane. And they both kind of like split left side, right side. And so I went to go fill the middle. Well, when I went to fill the middle, the one came to throw a block. He kind of threw it a little late. He came across my nose, started to get, you know, out of it and getting wobbly. And at that point, it's the last lap. Like, what do? You know, you can't really lift. You just got to hope that he gathers it up. Unfortunately, he didn't. He started spinning and wrecking and flipping or whatever happened. And at that point, I'm thinking that, you know, the caution's about to come out, and it came out a little later than what I was expecting. We were ahead of him, but I got to tell y'all, it was like the longest. I don't know how many minutes we sat there on the tribal. That's the longest I've ever sat in a race car. I mean, I felt like I was in there for an hour. Just like, if you had a heart rate monitor on me, it's probably 190, just like beating out of my chest because I'm like, did we do it? Did we not? Like, what is going on? And it was just such a relief to see that we got it done.
All right, we'll go next to Zach Sterniello, then we will go to Jerry Jordan, and then Davey Siegel.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Austin, first of all, congrats. With everything that you overcame today, I'm sure nothing really takes away from the sting of Thursday night, not getting into the 500, but I guess what's the swing in emotions from a night like that to a night like tonight?
I guess the biggest thing is that as confident as I am on these super speedways, it does burn that I'm not going to be in the 500 because I truly believe that I could compete with all the cup guys. I really think that I could go up there, race for a win. And, you know, I'm not saying that out of being cockiness or nothing. I just have that confidence in myself. I mean, I feel like I see things on the racetrack that a lot of other people don't. But I think when you get in the cup level, the guys that see the same things I do, that stacks up a lot deeper than what you have in the Xfinity and truck side. So it'd be a lot harder. Don't get me wrong. It would be way harder to get a win in the 500. And it's a lot of things, a lot of people that are, you know, really good at what they do that have never achieved it. Hall of Famers have never achieved it. But so I can't sit here and say that I'd just go out there and win the 500, but I think I could compete. So I think that's one thing that stings a little bit.
Jerry Jordan, GetInTheTires.net. You touched on it a little bit, but I was going to ask about sitting out there on the front stretch. You could see one of your competitors who was, you know, thought he might have had the win too. What really is going through your head? Are you looking over at each other? Or are you guys, I mean, y'all sending sign language back and forth?
So where I was sitting, you could see the TV that's down there in the infield. And I'm just like constantly watching the replay, and I'm sitting there telling myself, I won this damn thing. Like, if they tell me I didn't, this is BS. You know what I mean? I'm like, I won it. Like, you saw the caution light come out, and I'm like, I'm ahead. You know, and I'm sure that John Hunter's thinking the same thing. Like, I'm ahead of the damn 21. Like, you know what I mean? So that's just what I was looking at. And then I saw the flip and I'm like, oh God, like I hope I even keyed up on the radio. I'm like, hey, let me know if Sam's all right. And they said, yeah, he's good. So yeah, you're just sitting there. And then when they keyed up and they said, you want it, baby, you want it. I keyed up and I'm like, are you sure? Like, don't be screwing with me now. Like, are you sure? They're like, no, you want it. And then that's when I dropped the clutch, did my celebration, and kind of blacked out, honestly.
Davey Siegel with SiriusXM. So last year, I know that you had a little wager on the table with RC. If you won a couple races, you get to go on an elk hunt. You accomplished that. Did this win tonight go further to maybe another wager that you have with your boss man at all?
We didn't start a wager, but right when I'm going start to the start finish line, he said, well, it looks like you won that elk hunt again. We're going to Montana. So heck, that's just as good as winning the race. I mean, winning at Daytona is so cool and it's so special, and to do it for Richard Childress is so awesome. I mean, I can truly sit here and say that I think he's one of the best owners that we have in the garage. I mean, I know that I race for him and all that, but he's so family oriented. He's so down to earth. He remembers where he came from, and even with all the fame, fortune, all the stuff that he has, he's never forgot where he came from, and that's something that's been instilled in me when I was at a young age is just don't forget where you came from. You're no better than nobody else. You put your pants on the same way everyone else does, and that's what I love about RC.
I know you experienced this last year, but can you describe what it feels like to punch your ticket to the playoffs as early as you did?
Feels the same way as last year. I mean, it's just it takes that little bit of weight off your shoulders to where you're not really looking at points necessarily. But I will say this. I feel like last year we really worked on a lot of just off-the-wall stuff, just trying different things that I liked, didn't like. And if we ran really good that weekend, cool. If we didn't worry about it. This year I'm going with the mindset that I want to get a lot of stage wins. I want to win more races, obviously, but get stage wins, rack up those points so when we get in the playoffs, we have some stuff to fall back on, because the playoffs have been eluding me a lot these last few years in the truck level and the Xfinity level last year, where I make it to that top eight, but then I miss it by a couple points. And if I had some extra stage points to fall back on, it could be different story. So that's one thing that I really want to touch on this year.
All right, we'll go to Daniel McFadden, then we'll come up here to the front.
Daniel McFadden, FrontStretch.com. Austin, first, how do you take your morning watching a race replay coffee?
Say that again?
How do you take your morning watching a race replay coffee?
Well, I normally have the kids in the motor coach with me, so there's a lot of yelling going on and screaming and all that. So I'm not really watching it. Oh, yeah, they're back there. So and over there. I'm not really watching it, the replay. I'm more just drinking the coffee and just trying to, like, get woke up. I would say calm my nerves, but they got me kind of riled up normally. So, but no, I mean, I what I normally do in the morning on race day, no matter what race it is, I'll sit, and if I have the motorhome here at the track, I sit in the motorhome. If not, I'll go to the lounge, whatever, in the trailer, and I will watch the whole race back from the year prior, and I just take notes. I have my phone out, you know, the notepad that you have on your phone, and I just kind of jot down some notes, and I normally send them to my crew chief, spotter, that type of thing, and just play, hey, this is what I saw last year, this is what I'm thinking, but all this could be different when we go into the race tonight. And I will say that, you know, with the rear skew change that we had and the toe change and all that we had with the rear end, the car drove totally different than it had last year, all races. So there was things I had to do differently, had to adjust differently as a driver to make it still work and make it, you know, be as fast as it had been last year.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. Justin Allgaier said that the body changes allowed him to do things differently that maybe he wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. Can you, like, give us an example of what was something that was different for you?
So I actually thought that it was a little harder to break the bubble, you know, the bubble that you have behind the car, and it, like, you get a suck on somebody and you just kind of hit that air pocket where you kind of push the guy out. I actually personally thought that it was a little tougher to break it, and you really had to back up to the guy behind you a lot, like drag a lot of brake, lift off the throttle, let him get connected to you. Then you can start putting throttle back down and getting that push and getting the run to make a pass. And one thing I noticed is when you are getting a big run on somebody, you got to pull out pretty early, because if not, you get in the bad wake, and that causes you to to kind of hurt your momentum. So that's one thing that I played with when I was coming from the back those couple times. I'm playing with, you know, how the air's working and things like that, that I was able to put to my advantage a little bit when I got up front. So I think that's one thing that, that kind of played a factor in tonight is just the cars just drive different. They're tight. I thought our car was tighter. I thought that you would kind of get off the corner, you'd get a little tighter, have to add a little extra wheel, but in saying that, I could still do whatever I wanted.
So how do you drink your coffee? What's your preferred coffee?
Yeah, I just drink it black. It's just straight black, and I drink Folgers, so pretty simple.
All right, let's come up here to the front.
Hey, Austin, over here to your right, Chris Gollin with News Daytona Beach.
Yeah, over here.
First of all, deja vu. I remember asking you a question last year in this exact same situation. So I was wondering if you could go into what were the adjustments made on the car when you had to pull in the pace laps in the beginning, and how difficult was it to get back up to the front?
So for whatever reason, the main radio in the car, we have a radio, then we have a backup radio. The main radio was not working. It was dead for whatever reason. I don't know if I left it on after qualifying. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't working. So we switched to radio 2. Well, radio 2 is just the radio antenna. It's not the actual antenna that is connected to the top of the car to get a better signal. So when I'm out on the racetrack under pace laps, like, I cannot hear my spotter at all. I'm like, man, you're going to have to repeat that. Like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, they didn't want to pit. And I'm like, I'd rather pit. I got to be able to hear my spotter. I got to know when to clear, when not to clear, you know, that type of thing. That's a crucial thing to have in super speedways. And so we came down pit road, fixed it. And then I didn't think it was going to be that hard to get up through to the top 20, top 15. I thought once you got to the top 20, top 15, it was going to be a little tougher. And within 7 laps, we were in the top 10. We were like running 7th or 8th. And I'm like, this is kind of our race to lose here. I'm doing whatever I want, whenever I want. I'm driving up the middle. I'm doing all these things. And just, it looks like everybody's just sitting there and they're letting me make moves and make passes and nobody's able to do anything. So as soon as I saw that, my confidence level went from already being pretty high. I mean, I already had a lot of confidence in the night, to even greater. And I'm like, this is our race to lose. I think that we can outrun anybody. So, and then we had that wreck that happened with teammate. He got loose. Somebody got in the back of him. We got damage on the right side, had to come change tires. So we had to go to the back again, and it was the same deal. I just drove up to the front, and I'm like, man, this is pretty fun. Like, I mean, I actually had a blast doing it. It was so much fun.
Thanks, Austin. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Let's come up here to the middle.
Caleb Bussell, SpeedwayDigest.com. Austin, you won this race last year, and it also ended under caution as well. So winning at Daytona, would you rather win it under the green flag conditions? I mean, would that be more sweeter than winning it under caution, or does that dramatic pause trying to figure out who the official winner of the race is make it a little bit more sweeter?
That's a good question. I mean, I'd love to win it under green, but I really don't care how I win it, as long as I'm the one that won the race. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, drivers know that when the white flag comes out, as soon as caution comes out, it's over. So as soon as the white flag comes out, you're doing all you can to get to the lead in case you have that wreck that normally does happen down the backstretch or wherever it's going to happen. And you normally don't get back to the line a lot of the time. So it doesn't make it any less sweeter, more sweeter. I mean, it's still the same. We won at Daytona. It's so cool.
Right here.
Kenneth Bueno, South Florida Media Network. First of all, Austin, huge congratulations on the win tonight. I wanted to piggyback off of that question, winning at Daytona. Does it feel any different from the other times that you've won here? Or in what way can you describe that emotion, especially with this win tonight?
I don't think it really feels much different than when I won in 2019 in the trucks or winning it last year and this year. I think the only thing that's a little sweeter is we went back-to-back. I think that's really cool. And you get to start the year off, you know, locking yourself in points and that type of thing. So anytime you win at Daytona, it's so special. It's our Super Bowl. I mean, it's the first race of the year. It's all the hype, and a lot of people are here. All the fans are here. So you want to start the season off right, and we were able to do it the last 2 years. Now we got to put our foot down and win some more races throughout the year. I don't want to just win on super speedways. I want to win on some other racetracks. So our next goal is to go to Fontana and do it again.
Does that mean that 2024 might be Daytona 3-peat?
We'll see. I mean, I I think we can do it just as good as anybody can if I'm running again in the Xfinity Series or whatever I'm doing. But yeah, I mean, it's just special. It's so cool to win here at Daytona. I think anybody will tell you that it doesn't matter how you win it, how you do it, when you do it. It's just cool.
Thank you, Austin. Congratulations again.
Appreciate it.
On that note, Austin, thank you and congratulations.